Welcome to episode 386 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. As a child, he had to flee to Egypt because Herod wanted him dead. As an adult, he was homeless, harassed, harried, and hampered. He was betrayed by Judas and denied by Peter. He was abandoned by most of his closest followers and friends. He carried the burden of the sins of the world. He was falsely accused and rejected by the religious authorities. People who hailed him as a king condemned him as a criminal just days later. He was mocked and abused by Roman guards. He was crucified between two thieves. Jesus told the disciples several times that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. But they acted like they didn't want to hear about it. They were not sure what this meant, so they said little about it. Jesus often acknowledged that he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. How quickly things changed after the resurrection, both in their understanding and in their willingness to do whatever their faith required. When the disciples at Caesarea heard through the prophet Agabus that Paul was to face suffering and imprisonment in Jerusalem, they urged him not to go. But Paul, being constrained by the Holy Spirit, replied in Acts 21, verse 13, "Why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus." This was Paul's devotion to his Lord. The apostle was filled with such a love, loyalty, and enthusiasm for Christ that he was ready and willing to die for the cause of the gospel, for the cause of Christ. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul says the same thing. "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." In other words, whatever God ordains, whatever suffering or comfort may be ahead, Paul says he will follow Christ, bearing his cross and descending with him into death. But that is not the end. Following this sacrifice, he will enjoy the glory of the resurrection and will spend eternity with the Lord. Since Pentecost, this willingness to suffer and die for the cause of Christ has been the hallmark of the church throughout the ages. Long before the crucifixion, Jesus tells his disciples the following in Matthew 10, verse 38. "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Later in Matthew 16, verse 24, he says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And shortly before his own arrest, Jesus says this in Matthew 24, verse 9, "Then they will hand you over to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name." Remember what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." When Jesus was arrested, his disciples scattered. They were afraid that what befell Jesus could happen to them. And yet less than 2 months later, after the resurrection, men and women in the nascent church were willing to proclaim the gospel boldly, and they were so submitted to God that they persisted in spite of persecution. At the end of the first century, the bishop of the church at Antioch was a man named Ignatius. He was taken by Roman soldiers from Antioch to Rome, where he would become a martyr. On his way, he wrote letters to six churches. In his letter to the Romans, he tells them not to intervene in his death. He says, "Grant me this favor. I know what is best for me. Now I am beginning to be a disciple, fire and cross and battles with beasts, mutilation, being torn apart, scattering of bones, mangling of limbs, grinding of the whole body, cruel tortures of the devil. Let these come upon me only that I may reach Jesus Christ. Neither the ends of the earth nor the kingdoms of this age will be of benefit to me. It is better for me to die in Christ Jesus than to reign over the ends of the earth. I seek that one who died on my behalf. I desire that one who rose up on our account. Be in agreement with me, brothers. Do not hinder me from living, that is, with Christ in glory. Allow me to be an imitator of the suffering of my God. Why could Paul and Ignatius be so ready and willing to die for Christ? Why have tens of millions of people over the past two millennia been willing to die for their faith in a risen Savior? In April 1942, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, German Lutheran pastor, theologian, and anti-Nazi dissident, sat in a Nazi prison awaiting his execution that would take place a year later. Reflecting on his suffering, he penned a letter to his twin sister, Sabine. It is good to learn early that suffering and God are not a contradiction, but rather a unity. For the idea that God himself is suffering is one that has always been of the most convincing teachings of Christianity. I think that God is nearer to suffering than to happiness, and to find God in this way gives peace and rest and a strong and courageous heart. For 2,000 years, men and women have been willing to make the ultimate sacrifice because they have been captivated by the glory and beauty of Jesus and want to be faithful to their Lord, who suffered and died for them. They have found in Christ a love greater than all else, a hope stronger than death, an unshakable joy, and a peace that passes all understanding. And if being faithful to the God who has redeemed them meant giving up comfort or facing death, then so be it. If Jesus' life was one of suffering and death, then those united to him by faith who profess him as Savior and Lord should be prepared to expect the same thing. But being united to Christ doesn't only mean we must be willing to suffer and die. It also means that if we are united to him by faith and are faithful unto death, then we will also share in his resurrection, his glory, and the infinite joy that he experiences even now. Paul says that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And Peter tells us that we shouldn't be surprised when we face trials of various kinds, as if something strange were happening to us. Instead, we are to rejoice as we share his sufferings, because if we share in his sufferings, we share in his glory. Are we ready and willing to die for Christ? Are we eager to be obedient, even if it means suffering the loss of all things? Are we ready to part with comfort and honor for Christ? These aren't things Christians in much of the Western world have really had to wrestle with, but this is what it means to count the cost of following Jesus. As Charles Spurgeon famously said, if Christ is not all to you, he is nothing to you. If he is something, he must be everything. And if he is not everything, he is nothing to you. The good news is that when we fix our eyes on Jesus and look to the cross, as we pray for boldness and strength, we will find more and more the power and the desire to gain Christ, to be found in him, and to follow him wherever he leads us. His Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and empowered Paul and Ignatius to finish their race, will do the same for us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, give us the faith and strength to do whatever you call us to do. May others be drawn to you because of the power of our witness. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.